Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios, high atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome. It's great to have you here. This Friday punctuates one heck of a week in sports. As far as the Bay Area is concerned, I mean, if you're a Raider fan, you got big news this week. It wasn't the news you wanted. A lot of Niner fans are saying this isn't the news I wanted, but the news that Chip Kelly's your next head coach, guess what? I think it's interesting, if nothing else. Should be a very, very, I don't know, I think it's going to be a really sexy ride. It's either going to work out well, or it's going to go down in flames. And I've always said, give me greatness or give me awful 500 ball inspires no one.
It'll be interesting.
It will be. Gianna, good to see you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Look at your sparkle sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
You got some sparkle sleeves.
Thanks.
I like it. She's ready for Friday. Bouton Vixon, good to see you. No sparkle sleeves, but she did hook us up with a whole bunch of great T-shirts, thanks to her friends. What's the name of the T-shirt company again?
Causeware.
They got us those cool warrior T-shirts. Everyone pretty much got one here for the show, except for the Welshman. They don't make any for the Welsh.
We got some.
No, those. Oh. We have even more.
Yes, we have even more.
Oh wow, maybe we do have one. Do you have the Welshman? Was afraid that he couldn't pack all of his Welshness into an XL. Is there a double XL?
It looks to be so. It looks to be a possibility.
He runs like a Welshman, doesn't he? Doesn't he run like a Welshman?
Congratulations, Welshman. They make T-shirts even big enough for you. He's not that big.
He's not.
He was worried.
I think an XL would actually fit him okay, don't you?
I think so. I think he's just wanting for a bigger one because he's dripping in ladies.
Oh.
He likes to wear T-shirts over two people at once.
Okay.
888-957-9570. We have a ton for you this Friday afternoon. We've got Matt Maiocco at 4 o'clock to go over the Chip Kelly hiring and what is next. What happens next? Do we send in a FBI body language expert to see the picture that the 49ers sent out today? Look, I said yesterday in the theme of Chip Kelly's mantra, win the day, it felt like the Niners won yesterday more than they've won any day since they let Jim Harbaugh go. So good day of PR for the Niners, I think. They then released the first ever picture on their own Twitter account of Trent Baalke and Chip Kelly. After everyone's talking about what's the one thing that might undo this from being a halfway decent idea and just take it into a terrible idea is if the two of them don't get along, if there's a standoff nature between the two. In the picture, you got Baalke. He's just kind of got his arms out, like he's kind of pointing to the right a little bit. Chip Kelly's standing there like you just asked to take his daughter out on a date. Bikinis only. We're all going to the beach. It's 10 p.m. Yeah, but it's a beach bonfire and you got to wear a bikini. Can she come out, Mr. Kelly? His body language is like, nah. But it's just a picture. That's all it is. It's weird, though. You figure they had more than that one picture to choose from and they chose like a really standoffish Chip Kelly body language picture for the first two pictures or the first picture of the two of them in the Niner locker room.
And did you notice how Baalke was the one who was talking? He's doing the talking. That's interesting. They probably had pictures of both.
I'll do all the talking in this picture, Danny.
You know I love you, Damon.
I'll do all the talking that this picture needs.
No, I enjoy talking to you.
We're going
to
run the ball. What he's trying to say is we're going to run the ball.
Oh, look at this one. Another picture with him and Jed. Jed's got the late 30s, 40-year-old, trying to look hip yet business casual, white dude, standard operating procedure outfit. I'm not criticizing him. I got these two. The jeans, the white open collared shirt, and the sport coat.
Yeah.
That is standard 40-year-old white guy operating procedure right there. I'm business ready, but still cool enough to wear jeans. I pull that trick all the time. I fit that stereotype.
It's like business casual, right?
Yeah, it's just white guy.
It's just white guy.
It's just white guy. That's all it is. It's just standard white guy uniform.
Damon, I have something that I think will sum up Chip Kelly's tenure with the 49ers.
So far, it's not 24 hours in, we got a 10-year to celebrate?
The future. What we can expect. You ready?
Yes.
So it's going to be forever, or it's going to go down in flames.
Do you hear how carefully we select the music that is deemed appropriate for this radio program and how that doesn't even come close to measuring up to any pop culture standard we might adhere to?
Listen to the lyrics. Did you hear the lyrics?
No.
It's going to be forever. It's going to go down in flames.
It's like perfect.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Who's... So it's going to be forever, or it's going to go down in flames.
Is that on your iPod? Who is that? Who are you listening to?
Oh, that's Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
That's Taylor Swift?
Tay-Tay.
We built a stadium for that in Santa Clara?
Oh, my God!
Well, it's only fitting then. She has the perfect line.
It really is.
That sums it all up.
Should have hired Taylor Swift. That's who they should have brought in. She works quick, right? Doesn't she burn through boyfriends like Chip Kelly goes through Eagles media members? Just shreds them?
She's gotten better, but yeah, she does.
So... we've got an awful lot to get into about Chip Kelly. We've got some great sound from Chip Kelly in Philadelphia. I'm sure a show classier than this one wouldn't be as in love with the idea of a waffle machine farting, but indeed that's what we have. Danny, if you could cue that up. Last night, I got the single funniest thing that I've seen on the internet in 2016. There is a guy who obviously got a waffle maker from, you know, it's just like it looks like a George Foreman grill. It's a plastic white waffle maker that you fill with batter and you close the lid. And I don't know, 3-4 minutes later, you got waffles for breakfast. Hot, tasty, yummy, fresh, warm, crispy waffles. Who doesn't like waffles?
I love waffles.
What if I told you that I could sell you a waffle machine that makes waffles, or I could sell you another waffle machine that not only made waffles, but made sounds to entertain the whole family as it was making waffles. I kid you not, this comes from a guy testing out his new waffle iron at home. Danny, roll the tape. That
no way
is a waffle and waffle batter popping out of the side of a waffle iron. And I watched that 25 times last night and I cried harder every time. I don't know if you need to see the video too, because the batter like pops out a little bit at the end.
I need to see this.
You guys,
the guys laugh.
The guy dies. He's got his girlfriend, his wife in the background. This is the best thing you'll hear all week. If this doesn't put a bounce in your Friday, I don't know. Again, there's nothing gross about this. This is waffle batter coming out of a waffle iron. If you would, please, Danny.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that great? I don't know why that works so well, but it does.
We hate Tay-Tay, but we love farting.
Oh, forget, yeah.
Guys, I tell you, ugh.
going to talk about Chip Kelly and Colin Kaepernick trying to help each other out, trying to figure this thing called NFL out. Can they make it a sweet love to make it a football happen? We'll have Matt Maiocco on at 4 o'clock talking all about that. Ethan Sherwood-Strauss will be joining us at 4:30. We're going to have plenty on the Golden State Warriors, how they played, how Kobe Bryant was treated last night is what we're going to talk about as soon as we come on back, though. We've also got Jarrett Bell at 6 o'clock. We'll take it to the tweets at 6:30. We got a great, fun Friday show for you. Let's go to break with the waffle iron, and we'll be back with more right after this on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Got here named Adrian and Tracy talking about the waffle iron video, which, by the way, Gianna has now seen. The video makes it even better.
It does, especially when you hear the people laugh or the guy laugh.
It's really good. One more time, Danny, if you would, please. This is the high water mark.
Oh my god!
Every time, bad. It works every time. It's so funny. That's so good, Damon. He's like, "That's pretty good." But did you see it on weed? No, that would make it even better. I'm sure of it.
Let the boy watch.
Thank you, Adrian. So last night at Oracle Arena, what I didn't like after the game was the criticism that some pretend Twitter tough guy, I have no quarter to give Kobe Bryant fans were tweeting that they were upset that Kobe got one last standing ovation at Oracle Arena. Are you serious? Like, what is so wrong in your life? Maybe you were raised poorly. Maybe you don't appreciate sports as much as you appreciate just being miserable in your life. Like, we don't get to pick and choose who's great at sports. But you don't get to pretend someone isn't great at sports when they are. You don't have to like the guy to acknowledge the athlete. And I thought the Jerry West video that they introed Kobe with was totally on point. And who better to do a goodbye Kobe video than Jerry West, who was GM of the Lakers when they drafted, well, they technically didn't draft him, but of course they traded for him on draft day. Let me tell you, nobody delivered their pregame duty with more dignity than my friend and your PA announcer, Matthew Hurwitz. He nailed his duties. He gave Kobe a little extra dap, put some career stats into the intro that normally wouldn't be there. But you didn't hear Matthew like, "And now, from Lower Merion High School, one of the greatest Babadu of all time, Kobe."
No,
not even close. Not even close. He was respectful. And he announced him, you know, 5-time NBA champion, however many time All-Star, blah, 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 blah. Third on the NBA scoring list, Kobe Bryant. Like, very reserved, dignified. Let the fans make the message. You know, like the guy in Detroit embarrassed himself. Well, but that's his thing, though. He's like, he's the I'm screaming in your ear PA guy.
Right.
Detroit basketball. Everyone's like, "Oh, he's the best. He's the best PA guy in the..." No. No, he's not. Not even nice. No. No. So the way the Warriors set it all up, I thought was pitch perfect at Oracle Arena last night to send Kobe out in his final game there. The crowd, first of all, rule number one, don't you ever question an Oracle crowd. Whatever that crowd did to react to that moment, believe me, it was the correct reaction to that moment. Oracle basketball fan, those are good fans. I'm not going to call it the most knowledgeable basketball crowd that I've ever seen because I'm from Indiana. And that's just like, if there's even a notion that there might have been a double dribble, a travel, the whole building's like,
goes nuts.
Oh, it's you've never met a smarter basketball crowd in your life than the crowd that goes into Assembly Hall to watch Indiana basketball games. Every single person there is like, could be an NFL official or an NBA official. Like, if it was just a written test, everyone in there would pass it.
It's like your driving exam.
Everyone knows basketball. I'm not saying it's the most knowledgeable basketball crowd or the crowd. Well, like, if an Indiana player got caught on the wrong end of charging, the minute the replay hit the video board, no one would boo it. Like, oh, they got the call right. It went against us, but they got the call right. Like, at Oracle, they'll still boo the call that was wrong, even though it went for the Warriors. So. Right. But that crowd is dialed into the feel of the building, and it creates the feel of the building. And there are a lot of good friends of Warrior fans that happen to be Laker fans. I mean, let me tell you what I'm going to do. If I'm a Warrior season ticket holder last night and I got a buddy who grew up a massive Laker fan, that's the guy I'm bringing with me to the game. That's the girl I'm bringing with me to the game, the person who's a huge Lakers fan who wants to see Kobe one last time. So I bet you that you had as many Laker fans in there as you're going to see opposing fan base in there all year long. And just based on the location, L.A., San Francisco, Oakland, Northern California, Southern California, there's a ton of Laker fans everywhere.
Right.
There's a ton of Laker fans in Ohio, much less right here. So you figure a lot of Laker fans made it in there. That Kobe Bryant standing ovation probably came from a lot of those fans first. And if you're a Warrior fan sitting next to a Laker fan who gets up, you know what? If you're a basketball fan, you got to get up and give Kobe a little dap too. Doesn't matter that you don't like him. He was better at basketball than you'll be at anything in your whole life.
You have to respect that.
You have to. If you're a sports fan, you have to respect the guy who does it. Kobe spent an awful lot of his time in the NBA with that guy right there. That's the man status. Like, that's the man. Which one? Which, that guy. That's him? Yes. The man. That's who Kobe was. Like, for a decade. So, I thought that the send-off was pitch perfect. The final round of applause, the standing ovation, was perfect. The introduction by Matthew Hurwitz, perfect. The Jerry West video, perfect. And then the Warriors winning that game, perfect. You cannot begrudge the Laker fan who was in that building a round of applause. What is wrong with your miserable life if you're angry at the guy who rooted for him, applauding him? It's one of the all-time greats right there. So, if you were upset, get your head checked or learn how sports works. I remember when we were covering Barry Bonds taking down the all-time home run record. I went to, he was two away. He was two away from Henry Aaron. One to tie, the next one after that would pass. Went down to a three-game series at Dodger Stadium. Didn't hit a home run at Dodger Stadium. Next series in San Diego, and Barry, like, only hits home runs in San Diego. It's all he does. So we get to San Diego, and all these fans are talking about how they're not going to stand up if he hits a home run. They're going to turn their backs to Barry Bonds if he hits a home run. Here's the plastic. Here, not the plastic bag. That's dangerous. Here's the paper bag,
right,
that I'm going to put on my head like I'm the unknown comic. When he hits his home run, I refuse to acknowledge it. I hate Bonds. I hate San Francisco. I hate the Giants. I hate steroids. I'm a Padres fan. I got nothing but hot hostesses in a neighborhood and palm trees, and I got no sporting excellence, and I'm miserable, and the Chargers are leaving. Screw everyone, even though things should be better because San Diego's nice.
Okay.
That guy?
There's a few of them. Not all of them, but a few.
That guy? When Barry hit his home run, he was on his feet applauding, and he didn't put his bag on his head, and he didn't turn his back to Barry Bonds. There wasn't a single moment of history that you wanted to miss when it actually starts unfolding in front of you.
Everybody talks a tough game. And now that we have Twitter, everybody tweets a tough game. Let me tell you, if Kobe Bryant walked past you in a one-on-one, nobody-looking situation, you'd be hard-pressed not to ask for his autograph right after you're done tweeting, I hate Kobe Bryant. That guy sucks. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Bryant, can I have an autograph?
And a selfie.
Right. So, stop. You got to be able to recognize greatness, man. How do you know what greatness is unless you recognize it? Was it Tracy Morgan? How do you know what greatness is unless you study it? By the way, isn't Jay Moore up here for Sketchfest or coming soon or something like that? He's coming. I think Jay Moore's got something like Cobb's Comedy Club during Super Bowl week.
Oh, nice. Can we get him on the show?
Yeah, he'll probably big time us.
Oh.
No, yeah, I hope so. Yeah, we'll see. Let's go to Matt in San Jose. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
Hey, Damon. Just wanted to comment on that song. I think it's definitely going to go down in flames since the longest tenured coach has been only 5 years since George Seifert. And that was Mariucci. And then they dump Harbaugh like he's nothing. So I don't think Chip Kelly's going to be nearly as good as any of them. And it's just going to end in flames like everything else.
Let me ask you, are you down on this because you're down on the team? Or are you down on this because you're down on Chip Kelly?
Oh, well, down on the team management, not on Kelly so much. It's just, I just don't think that anybody could come in there and really last that long. I mean, Harbaugh was the best coach they had since, you know, Seifert Walsh era, and they just let him go. So I don't think anybody could come in there and really turn things around. And, you know, as far as management, keeping somebody for a lengthy period of time, but that's kind of the way of the NFL nowadays. So
Anyway. Your coach gets 4 or 5 years anywhere. It feels like that was a long run these days. That's how quickly these guys turn over. And I think it's part of the problem with, look, coach and player turnover is as much responsible for quality of play deterioration as the new CBA preventing the amount of hours that guys can go out and practice together. There's so much transition. Great football used to happen when great teams came together under great coaches and all played together for a very long time, practiced together, offseason after offseason after offseason. You know, Jerry Rice and Steve Young didn't have that chemistry day one. But after day, we've been working together for over 1,000 days. That's when it becomes rote. That's when it becomes the beautiful ballet that sometimes is hard to see out there now. It's so chunky and clunky and choppy. I know we were told to blame offensive line play almost exclusively this year, but it's not all on the line. It's on everybody coming together, staying together, practicing together, and really becoming a cohesive unit. Teams used to get opportunities to do that. Patience actually used to be part of the sports world. It really isn't anymore. I'm going to ask you to be a little patient while we take a quick break and come on back after Gianna's update. We'll get into being a step ahead of the game works out here, makes sense out here. Back on the East Coast, what we look out here as innovative gets mocked in some other locales. Stick around. This is the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Yesterday, I talked a little bit about why Chip Kelly fell flat on his face over the course of the calendar year in Philadelphia. And I'm not kidding when I said the whole notion of smoothies has something to do with it. Just the word smoothies probably upsets at least 75% of Philadelphians if you walked up to them and just said the word on the street. Like, if you walked up to anybody on New Montgomery, which is one of the streets right outside of our studio here. If you walked between New Montgomery and Market Street, if you walked from where we are up New Montgomery to Market Street and just stopped everybody and just looked them in the eye and said, maybe you could say it demonstratively like smoothies. If you said something like that, someone would be like, yeah, love smoothies.
Yummy, green smoothies.
Or if you said something like, if you said like a question like smoothies, people would probably be like, yeah, I love smoothies. Thanks for asking. You were walking down the street singing it. Smoothie, 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 yeah. Someone would probably be like, oh, yeah, man, I love smoothies. You walk up to somebody in Philadelphia and go up to them and go, smoothie? They probably just punch you right there in the face. You're like, are you hitting on me? Smoothie? What? What's a smoothie? We don't like things smooth. We like them rough and angry and upset. Didn't you see the new Creed? Nothing smooth happened. I didn't see Creed yet, by the way. I hear it's great. I still haven't seen it. Anyway, there really is a way of living on the East Coast that takes bright, sunshiny, nutritional ideas and almost mocks you for having them. Really, it's the truth. I know it sounds weird, but you got to believe me on this. I'm sure a little of the unwelcome nature has worn down now, but not even 3-4 years ago. If you said sushi to somebody from like upstate New York or just outside of Philadelphia, probably be like, what? No.
Yeah.
Never. You're crazy. You know, fish sticks is as close to sushi as a lot of people on the East Coast will ever get. So there's just a big difference, not just in the way things work and the way people live and talk, but the way lifestyle differences are perceived from the East Coast to the West Coast. You know, Kelly gets criticized for wanting players' blood and urine. And he does, by the way. He, like, gives urine tests to his players. He wants to draw your blood. He wants to monitor your sugar levels. He is getting into the DNA of what makes you a finely tuned athlete more than really any other coach has ever tried to at a professional level. He wants to coach not just your mind through the playbook. He wants to coach your bloodstream. This is portrayed as too intrusive by some people. Stephen A. Smith, you know, based in Philadelphia, talks about how this is the equivalent of putting a player, putting an ankle bracelet on a player and putting him under house arrest. No, that's not what's going on here. They want to monitor heart rate and they want to monitor your sleeping patterns. They are looking to fine tune you to make sure that when a game kicks off on a Sunday or a Sunday night or a Monday or a Thursday, that your body is ready to go in peak physical performance for that on-field performance. That's what Chip Kelly is all about. So wanting you to drink a smoothie, wanting you to get on a nutritional plan, writing you about your body fat, your weight, your speed, your burst, you know, you're going to be measured and studied. On the East Coast, that sounds intrusive. You don't have to sell anyone that out here. You don't. Around here, nutritional and physical conditioning, it's a mecca for both. It really is. And I'm not saying that this is because now the Niners are located closer to Silicon Valley after the move to Santa Clara. It's got nothing to do with physical location. It's just the way we're wired here in the Bay Area. Innovation. Taking it a step further than the other guy was willing to. These things out here are perceived as assets, not mocked as superfluous, unnecessary, why are you wasting my time with these things? Like you can get away with in Philadelphia. Some crusty old media member gets a player starting to talk about like, man, I don't know why I got to track all this. Well, the crusty old media member doesn't know why you have to track all that either. Out here, the media member might be, you know, someone who is, you know, wearing a Fitbit and just got back from SoulCycle themselves.
Exactly. It's a part of life here.
It's a part of life out here. And innovation, pushing envelopes, looking beyond what others are capable of seeing. That pretty much defines the Bay Area and the attitude it takes to be successful out here. I'm not saying that this makes Kelly a better coach than Tom Coughlin instantly for the area or anything like that, but it gives him a little bit more room to operate in the culture without being mocked or like he would have to give press conferences on like why vitamins are important. You won't have to give those out here. I think people are bought into the concept of vitamins. So Chip Kelly's culture of innovation, I think, just plays here better than it played back in Philadelphia. Let's go to Dan on 580. How are you?
I'm good, Damon. So I'm South Jersey bred. I'm a Philly fan. The smoothie talk, we bought into it, man. We bought into it early. We bought into it full board.
What'd you turn on first? Did you turn on DeMarco Murray or the smoothies first?
Murray, I bought into him too, even though he came from Dallas. He was tough to swallow when we got pushed on us, but we'll take him. He's still there. But the smoothies, we bought into the culture. We bought into the innovation. We were disappointed when the innovation didn't come with the football. Like, I hope the smoothies stay. I hope the sports science sticks around with Doug Peterson when he shows up. But when Chip was so stubborn with not changing the system, with not adjusting his football, which, again, is what we expected. We expected an innovator. I expected Chip to come in, be the guy who knew his system was going to get figured out, but was going to be a step ahead and be ready to change. He stuck with the system, and it stopped working, but he kept pushing it down everybody's throats, and we ended up with 6-9. And that's why we ran him out. That's why not run him out. We didn't run him out. The fans didn't run him out. Jeff Lurie ran him out. And that's because the innovation that he bought into when he hired him, it never came to the football side. Yes, sports science is fantastic. Jeff Lurie threw solar panels on Lincoln Financial Field. He's one of the first to do that. I mean, he is a progressive guy. Again, he's a New England guy, but he's progressive. But Chip didn't follow suit with what he was selling us. And that's why he's gone. Not because...
I'll tell you, I've got a great story that was told to me by a guy who really knows tightly the Philadelphia media crowd. And he said one of the biggest reasons why Kelly's no longer there is because he said, you know, I want to coach the team. Now I need to control the roster. When he started controlling the roster and he fell short, he didn't take full responsibility after he had asked for full responsibility.
Absolutely.
And that's what drove Lurie nuts. And he basically had him in for lunch to talk about it. Chip did not throw himself on his sword of apology. And by the time that lunch was over, so was Chip Kelly's contract.
Yeah, I buy that as well. And then what you guys are going to find out here, Chip loves to win the game of semantics. I mean, he'll twist his words. He'll say, no, I didn't say anything. And that played into the whole not taking responsibility for being the failure as a GM, which neither here nor there. I mean, I think our GM is part of the problem out in Philly right now. And I think that's why Chip took control, was because he didn't trust Howie Roseman. And I think that situation is different here with Gamble. And if Chip succeeds, it's because he's got a GM in Balky and Gamble on the personnel side who he trusts. And I think that's kind of one of the things that led to where we got to in Philly.
By the way, do you think there were any cocktails at Howie Roseman's the night that Chip Kelly got fired? I mean, come on. Thank you.
Howie's been hoping to see Chip fail since he pulled that move. Again, you know, how he bought into it. Howie's part of the hiring of Kelly. And then, again, Chip stepped in because Howie's not a football guy. Howie's a money guy who wants to be a football guy. And I think, you know, we're seeing Doug Peterson, who was a high school football coach in 2008, and now he's going to be the head football coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and that makes me a little worried.
All right, let me wrap up with this, since you're a South Jersey guy, and that gets you close enough to Philly for you to answer this question from Greg from Philly. Who do you got, Geno's or Pat's?
Neither one, man. Both of them are garbage. They're tourist traps. You can go any little side alley anywhere in Philadelphia and find a better cheesesteak than Geno's or Pat's.
Wow. That sounds like the right answer to me. I don't know if that's the answer that he was looking for, but that sounds like the right answer to me. Thank you very much for the call. Dan on 580, Eagles fan, frustrated man, doesn't buy into the Geno or Pat's hype. Can we bring in Tony Bruno for the third day this week? Because he'll settle this. But there's a place that he's got that's called I can't remember the name of it. But he says it's the best cheesesteak, and it's called, the Broccoli Rob or something. That's not called the Broccoli Rob, but he likes Broccoli Rob, too. Anyway, we'll
find out.
Remind me next Tuesday when we have Bruno back on. We'll get the information. As soon as we come on back, we'll take another call or two. I can promise you that at 888-957-9570. A little bit later on today, we're going to ask you to use the old Twitters. Hit me on Damon Bruce and hashtag it to the tweets. We'll be taking it to the tweets around 6:30 tonight. We'll wrap up the week with that. It's usually a fun segment, depending on how fun the questions are. Use the hashtag #2 to the tweets. And it's all easy to find and sort through. And merriment will ensue at 6:30. We've got Matt Maiocco coming up at 4 o'clock. Before that, though, we're going to come on back with a little of the latest news about the Warriors coming over the bridge. You know they want a San Francisco arena. How quickly will they get it? Not as quickly as they wanted it. That's next on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. It's good to have you here on a Friday afternoon. Big, big, big Chip Kelly talk coming up with Matt Maiocco. We're going to talk about, you know, who's going to be on the staff. Obviously, whoever his offensive coordinator is just someone to help install a game plan. But you're bringing in Chip Kelly to call the plays. That's why he's here. Who's he looking at defensive coordinator? Might Eric Mangini figure out a way to stick around Santa Clara? So all that's coming up with Matt Maiocco at 4 o'clock. Looking forward to it. Want to share a little news that's sort of developing this hour from CSNBayArea.com. The story says that the Warriors, of course, are planning on their new Mission Bay Arena, and the goal was for the 2018-19 season to be the target date. It's not going to happen. On Friday, Rick Welts told the Bay Area News Group through Tim Kawakami that the lawsuit that's been filed against the Warriors and this new site by that Mission Bay Alliance, just up to no goodnik group, like they're just pains in the asses. They declared themselves to be pains in the asses.
This is the one that's been in the news with the mom who has the child who wants more access to the hospital.
Yes, okay. Yes. So the Mission Bay Alliance spokesman Sam Singer said, "We believe this decision was rushed. It was rubber stamped and is the worst planning decision in the history of San Francisco." By the way, Peter Hartlab, who is the pop culture guy at the San Francisco Chronicle, has got a great Twitter account. He had there's never been a single thing built in San Francisco where someone hasn't declared this is the worst planned thing in the history of San Francisco, including the Golden Gate and the Bay Bridge.
Right. But somehow it all works out.
How about that? So anyway, Rick Welts has said that due to this legal hurdle that they now have to get over, instead of opening in the 2018-19 season, it looks like the 2019-2020 season is more likely for the opening of their new arena, which is still, you know, a long ways away from even starting construction.
So 1 year, basically, pushing it back at least
pushing it back 12 months. During, quote, this is from Rick Welts. "During 3 years of intense public scrutiny, the Warriors Arena won approval from 100% of the board's agencies and commissions that considered the matter. The Board of Supervisors, the Office of Community Investment and Infrastructure, the Mission Bay Citizens Community, the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency, and the Planning, Entertainment, Port, and Public Utilities Commissions. The decisions of our elected leaders to bring the Warriors home to San Francisco will be upheld by the courts in this frivolous lawsuit brought by a secretive group of wealthy donors will fail." That was written well, Rick Welts. By the way, Rick Welts should write well. Say that seven times fast. So the Warriors are postponing the San Francisco Arena a full season, fall of 2019, due to ongoing litigation and a whole bunch of NIMBY activity going down in Mission Bay. Oh, look at this, by the way. Peter Hartlab just tweeted me. I didn't even see Peter. Peter, I referenced you before I even saw the tweet talking about his great column about how everyone hates everything the minute it's being planned. And that goes back to the Golden Gate Bridge was declared a civic, tourist, and public disaster as they were planning it. Hartlab's like, "Dude, you love Creed. It deserves the hype." That's what a couple people have been tweeting me or texting me here on the thing, too. Like, "Dude, come on, Creed."
It's gotten a lot of great reviews. And Sylvester Stallone nominated for an Oscar, winning a Golden Globe for that. It's a good movie, apparently.
I do want to see it. You know, it's funny. You'd think that the guy who talks sports for a living would love the sports movie. when I go to a movie, it's to get away from, like, my normal life, which is sports. Like, I don't want to suspend my reality to have a pretend sports story. I got enough of ridiculous real sports stories to go through. But I will see it. I mean, I'm not telling you here I don't like Rocky.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Rocky is, I know it's a sports, it's the boxing films, but it's more about the characters as well within that. So it kind of, you know, I think it passes. It's not like you're... It's not like a documentary.
Right.
It's a movie.
Of course. Look, I will see it. I will see it.
You've seen all the Rockies, right? Okay, so you have to see it then. So that, go this weekend. I expect you to go Saturday or Sunday. That is your assignment, Damon.
If I see Rocky. I tell you what, before I'm going to see Creed, I'm going to go see Revenant.
Oh, well, that's on the list, too.
And Revenant looks like you must see this in the big theater. Where Rocky looks like I can see it at home. You know what I mean? I don't need Rocky in 3D IMAX.
You need to spend $70 to go see Creed.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I got it.
By the way, if we could go back to the text line for all things instant information, many of you are correct, and I thank you. Tony Bruno's favorite place to get a cheesesteak is Tony Luke's roast pork. And you got to get it with the broccoli rob on it.
That's why I remember.
But it's Tony Luke's. Thank you very much.
Put it on the list.
Put it on the list. Put it on the board. So what have we learned this hour? Well, in Philadelphia, don't go to get a tourist trap cheesesteak.
No.
You go to Tony Luke's and get one pork cheddar with a little broccoli rob on it. We also learned that this is a place that likes smoothies and will probably embrace a coach that preaches the medicinal, nutritional, digestive value of a good smoothie. We have definitely looked at the crowd and the appropriate, respectful, not over the top from the organization treatment Kobe Bryant was served up last night at Oracle Arena. And I approve of it. You should too. Please don't disapprove of a little class sportsmanship dignity. We also learned that if you're going to make waffles, you have to brace yourself for all the fun that could possibly come with your waffle iron, which in this guy's case, gave him this.
Wow.
A waffle iron. That's the best thing we're going to hear all day. We have. Yeah, one more time, please. It's so good. I don't know what it is.
Every time.
It works every time. We've got some Chip Kelly questions. Or actually, I should say we got some Chip Kelly answers from questions he's been asked in the past to go through. Sort of a little bit of a look into the mind of the guy that we're going to be, you know, focused on and studying for the foreseeable future out here. I really wonder how long he's got. What are the particulars of his deal again, Danny?
4 years.
Is it 4 year?
I believe, right?
Is it six?
4 years, $24 million.
Six over four. Thank you very much. 6 over 4. Does he get 4 years if he's not in the playoffs by year two? How patient will Jed York be with the guy that I bet you he thinks is going to instantly turn his team around or quick fix Colin Kaepernick, if that's the plan, and get this team back to being good? It did not take very long from the Niners to go from a really good football team to not good at all. It that direction, the slide downward, is fast, it's rapid, it is an easy descent. The climb back up to a really good never happens.
So much harder.
As fast as the descent does. It is tougher to climb out of the pit you're in than it is to fall into the pit. So what is the time frame the San Francisco 49ers really have? We know it's a four-year deal, but what's the real time frame that Chip Kelly will be given before he needs to produce? Because we don't hang banners for division championships around here, someone once said. Even though they haven't hung a banner ever, because they don't do banners. 888-957-9570. Hopefully you had a banner week. It's been a banner week for sports news, especially from the NFL. We'll get back into the notion of the San Antonio Raiders being a ridiculous pipe dream. That will come up next hour, which will kick off with Matt Maiocco, the Cobra, our Niner insider, coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.